approach because she was emotional at this point. She was very afraid. She always was very afraid when she had to go in front of the public and to talk. She had, like, almost stage fright. And also be very clear on the thinking. So it cannot be, as an actor, you cannot only go the you can't be just, like, a cold thinker in that moment. You have to also bring in her emotion. And so we try to find that balance so that those people would understand. I mean, for me, the reason why I, you know, did also this film with Margareta, because the topic of the Holocaust is one that has been a big topic of my life, because the generation that raised me, my teachers, my parents, they were all part of that generation.
Where were you born?
I was born in Bremen. And when Hannah Arendt says, if you see that man in the scene before that you showed, and the difference, the horrors that happened, it was something that she couldn't bring together. How is that mediocre man there, and there are these incredible horrors? And the same for us, you know, it was, how are there these nice people that we know? How could they witness, see these incredible horrors? Are they lying? Are they not lying? What did they really know? So this was, for me, also, you know, a reason why I was very attracted to that topic again and to Hannah Arendt. I really do think that the question whether Eichmann is really mediocre or not, there's been a lot of research out since Hannah Arendt wrote the book. Yad Vashem was just only founded at that time, you know. Now there have big
the
archives and all.
Israel.
But the thing is that he is a prototype. It doesn't matter whether he personally, whether she was right on him. Other people might see a demon on him, you know. But these people existed, these bureaucrats. And the thing is that he never regretted. He felt justified with what he did. He said, I obeyed the law of my country, and the law of my country was Hitler's law. And I think that is interesting for us today, you know. How much do you obey a law? You have to think about the law.
Actress Barbara Sukowa is the star of Hannah Arendt. We were also joined by the film's director, Margareta von Trotta. The film has just been released on DVD.
Tune in Thursday and Friday for our holiday shows. Our tribute to Jip Harburg, blacklisted lyricist who put the rainbow in The Wizard of Oz. He also wrote the words to Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And so much more. Then our discussion about Ebony and Ivy, race, slavery, and the troubled history of America's universities with Craig Stephen Wilder and Katrina Brown. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkner, Nate Felser, Armata, Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Cassandra Lazare, Messiah Rhodes, Shirin Nadura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, John Wallach, Vestika Darza. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermin Sheikh.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, November 24th. Amos Lee will be at the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center in West Hampton at 8. Tom Falco and Kevin Griffin will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 1 p.m. Caitlin Canty and Jefferson Hammer, John Prettis and Robert Brewey will be at the University Cafe, Stony Brook, 1 p.m. Manhattan Brass and Friends will be at Le Poisson Rouge, New York City, 9 p.m. Your concert billboard for Monday, November 25th. Thundercat will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn, 9 p.m. Smash Mouth will be at the Emporium in Patchogue. Brain Cloud will be at Barb's of Brooklyn. The Williamsburg Salsa Orchestra will be at the Brooklyn Bowl in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. On your billboard for Tuesday, November 26th, Robert Randolph and the Family Band will be at the Brooklyn Bowl, 8 p.m. Van Morrison will be at the Beacon Theater, New York City, 8 p.m. Slavic Soul Party will be at Barb's in Brooklyn. Looking ahead to Wednesday, November 27th, the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport welcomes Dan Donnelly at 8.
If there's no WUSB, There's no concert billboard, no Long Island scene, no place to hear the best about local performers with live on-air shows, concerts, local music marathons, and studio recording. So give a WUSB. Call 631-632-6901. Thank you.
This is radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:02, time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. Good evening. And no, I'm not being... Is ironic the right word? No. It is a good evening. Yes, it's getting nasty outside. It's stormy. It's rainy. It's windy. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving. You might not have those massive balloons going down Broadway. Well, if you do, you might have them going up into the sky as well. It's entirely possible. And I'm all for that. You know, this happens every now and then, that it rains or gets very nasty on Thanksgiving. And this apparently is the year. So if you're planning a pilgrimage to Manhattan to see the parade, well, you'll see something. That's for sure. But you might not see what you were expecting. And isn't that always what's the most fun in life? Oh, yeah. And I am so thrilled that we're having cold, windy, raw temperatures this early in the year. Because it's what winter is about. It's what winter should be about. And, you know, when you look at the global weather forecast, which I realize most people don't do that. Most people just look at their 30-mile zone and never step out of that. But I like to look at what's going on in the rest of the world. And maybe the reason is because when you do that, it invariably shows up in Celsius, and that does scare people, but it's not so bad. But you see what's happening in the rest of the world. You see where it's really, really warm and where it's really, really cold. And the cold places, there aren't as many of those as there are warm places. So in the summertime here, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's not that cold in the Southern Hemisphere. And unless you go to Antarctica or something, it's not that cold. They don't have like a Norway or Montreal or equivalent of that in very many places. You know, even Australia is not that cold in their winter. Unless you go to a particular top of a mountain someplace or take a very long voyage to some remote island. There just aren't that many places. So I relish the cold when it comes because there certainly is enough heat on this planet. And from what I'm hearing, there's going to be a lot more. But yeah, okay, so it's going to be a crappy Thanksgiving for people here in the United States. And if really your mood and your whole view on life is affected by what the weather is doing, I think you have to look at that. I'm open to variety. I'm open to it being very hot in the summertime, very cold in the wintertime, rain and hurricanes and flash floods occasionally. All sorts of things to keep us on our toes. So, yeah, Thanksgiving this week, American Thanksgiving, that is. They have different kinds of holidays in different countries, and sometimes we don't realize that either. Canadian Thanksgiving is in October. In fact, that's over a weekend. Not nearly as much attention paid to that, by the way, as over here. Kind of prefer it that way. But, you know, I gotta say, I'm starting not to like the internet. It's basically thwarting me at every turn because I swear I came up with the phrase Thanksgivica because this year, people are starting to realize this now, but this year, Thanksgiving and Hanukkah fall on the same day. So, yeah, I was being really clever and merging the two words and come up with Thanksgivica. It's never been done before. I even got people to believe it was Obama's fault. That it was his idea. Oh, give it a chance. He wants to try something new. Why can't you let him have this? And I actually got people angry about it. Who does he think he is messing around with something like that? It's not hard to do this. It really isn't. People are so in Rumpelstiltskin mode. You know what I mean? It's they're basically stomping around. They can't see themselves because they're so furious. And they're just digging themselves into the earth, stamping their feet so hard. But no, Obama did not. I don't think he did. Did he? No, he had nothing to do with it. It just happens for some reason. The holiday moves occasionally, not like Ramadan, which moves all the way around the year, which I think is awesome. You know, if we had to pick a holiday that could happen with, what holiday would it be? What holiday would we like to be a roaming holiday? We should think about this. How about Valentine's Day? That would be kind of cool. You never know when Valentine's Day is going to happen next year, you know? And that way, people really have to be on their toes. Just trying to think of ways to torture people. So yeah, I thought of this idea, Thanksgivica, and then I made the mistake of looking it up online to see if anybody else had come up with it. Of course, people had. And it's, the problem is, there were too many people thinking of the same types of things. And a lot of them get up earlier than I do. And a lot of them talk a lot more than I do. So they post all of this and it gets out and all of a sudden, you just can't come up with an original idea anymore. It's really kind of depressing. It was so much better way back, you know, when the internet had 73 people on it. And yeah, there wasn't advertising. You couldn't buy things on Amazon, but you could have a conversation. You could basically go back and forth with people. You could get to know who they are. There weren't memes. There weren't all these ideas floating around that you thought were your own. Oh, well. So yeah, that's why I'm getting turned off to the whole thing. I think it was fun while it lasted, but come on, this mass consciousness is sort of getting on me. Hey, Finn.
Well, hi there.
I was just basically attacking the internet.
Oh, okay. Well, the internet didn't get me here today.
No, and didn't get me here either. It's not really. There you go. Just handle that microphone like that. That's good. It's a
manhandle microphone.
I was just saying, I came up with the word Thanksgivica. I did. And nobody believes me because it's on the internet everywhere and because there's billions of people out there all competing for the same smart ideas.
That is correct. And you did. You were the first person that actually said it in front of me. So.
Do you know when I said that in front of you? That was way too late already.
It was too late.
Because people had tweeted and twerked and God knows what with the word already. And it was out there and it was history. And I was just left in the dust while the bus moved on to the next town.
You were a latecomer to the Thanksgiving concert.
Fashionably late, yes.
That's right.
Used to be a good thing.
That's right. Not in the world of the internets, my friend.
And I hate that. Please don't say internets. I cannot stand that. Everyone thinks they're so smart by coming up with these little phrases that people come up with because, what, George W. Bush said it once by accident?
Well, I believe I was the first one to come up with it.
Before George W. Bush?
Yeah.
He got it from you.
Thanksgivica, I thought I did, but it turned out I didn't. I was not the first one.
But wait a minute. Hold on. In this room, I came up with Thanksgivica before you did. All right?
Yes.
All right. But internets, did you say you beat George W. Bush on that? Because that's the one thing he accomplished.
I do not now, but I did think I did until I found out it was everywhere.
Well, it's everywhere now because everyone's trying to be cute, you know?
Well, I'm not cute, but I attempt.
I don't like cute. It's not cute, you know? It's how you been?
I've been good.
Isn't it great outside, the weather?
It's gorgeous, yes.
Oh, you have to drive all the way back to Queens, I know. So
I do have to drive back to Queens tonight, and I think I'll be leaving as things are really kicking up.
Uh-huh. Well, so. Yeah, I mean, I always like to go right into the midst of a storm. That was, that's what I'm, the last hurricane, though, I stayed inside because that was some serious crap out there. It really was, and I didn't want to go outside. But if it's a windstorm like now, or just a blizzard or something like that, I'll probably be out there someplace.
Yeah, and my personal history has always been that too. As a matter of fact, with Sandy, I do live in Astoria. I live one block from the East River, and I was down by the river as the storm was getting pretty serious out there and almost coming over the seawall right mm-hmm. there on the East River on Vernon Boulevard.
Ah, good memories.
That's right. And however, when I'm coming home after a long day of work and a radio show, I like to be safe so I can get home in time, so I can get up the next day and do it all again.
Well, yeah, but do it differently each time.
Well, tonight will be one of those differences.
Yeah. So anyway, the weather, for those people that do listen to us for weather information, or those people listening in other parts of the world that are curious about what we're going through here, as of midnight, there's a wind advisory, a flood watch, and a high surf advisory. For those surfers out there that want to,
I know. I
want to exercise really some caution.
I can never really understand that phrase, a high surf advisory. I mean, I do understand it, but, you know, it always makes me chuckle.
Do you understand it? Explain it to me, because I don't understand.
It means the water's high and there's going to be big waves.
What difference does it make how high the water is? How does that make a difference to anybody?
Well, it makes a difference to people on the coasts.
On the land, yes, but people on the surf, why do they care if it's higher or lower? I never understood that.
That's true. It's a shorter trip home for some of them.
Yeah. All right. But, I mean, I imagine that's to warn people not to go out on a boat.
That's the general gist, yeah.
And who in God's name would be going out on a boat at night in November during a windstorm?
Listen to me. If I owned a boat and I was, it was a few years ago, like in Gloria, for example, I was on a boat briefly.
During the hurricane, you were on a boat?
Well, in the beginning of the hurricane, but otherwise we were on the beach.
All right. Please turn phones off in the studio. We have a rule here. we apologize.
Yeah, I was actually on a boat very briefly during Gloria way back when.
I remember Gloria. That was a good one.
Right here on Long Island, but very briefly in the very beginning of it. But after that, it was on land. And, you know, that's something that's always very tempting. You know, it's the excitement of living on the edge of a storm.
I love that we name storms.
Me too.
You know,
I think
not
we
many
name
people
too many
get to
of
do
them,
that.
Though.
Not many people in the world get named storms that come and hit them.
Correct.
You know, it's mostly the eastern United States. And, of course, you have typhoons in Asia that are named. I don't keep track of those nearly as much.
No. But usually I can't say the names.
Like, you know, California or Kansas, they don't name their storm. They have tornadoes in Kansas, that's for sure. And I think, you know, that's something that's endemic to the United States. I think if there's anything that the United States has that no one else has, it's tornadoes. Have you ever heard of a tornado in Russia?
No, I have not, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. But we do have...
Where are they? Where are the other tornadoes?
In the Midwest of the United States, we do have a massive amount of tornadoes.
Yeah, we really have more of those than I think anywhere else. I've never heard of a tornado in South America, never heard of a tornado in Africa. I've heard of all kinds of catastrophes and disasters all around the world, but never...
And that's because God knows we voted for gay marriage.
Yeah, I suppose that might have something to do with it. We don't have volcanoes. We don't have those.
Not yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's got their own thing.
Yes.
But if there are tornadoes, I mean, I know there was an occasional tornado somewhere. I think there was actually one in Italy not too long ago, but a tiny one. But, you know, if there is a tornado belt somewhere else in this world, please, somebody write to us. Let us know that, because we like to learn.
That's right.
It's all about learning. And there might be somebody calling in to let us know, but we're not taking calls right now. But if you are thinking of flying into or out of New York, you'd best either be on your way now or thinking of spending a night or two at the airport. Flight arrivals at LaGuardia averaging close to half an hour delay. That's not so bad. As of now, though, keep in mind, tomorrow is that the busiest travel day of the year tomorrow?
So they say, yeah.
So
it's not a good day to travel, however.
It's going to be pouring rain. It's going to be windy. It's going to be raw. I'm going to be having the time of my life, but a lot of people are going to be miserable. You always see these people in airports that are sleeping on little couches. They're not couches, really. What are they? They're chairs. They're horrible.
Well, sort of lounges, yes.
There's nothing loungy about it. People are on the floor. They're just very uncomfortable. They're there for a long period of time. I've taken all sorts of flights to all sorts of weird places, and that's never happened to me. It's never happened. And I don't know what it is that's – I mean, if my flight is delayed, then – they either put me on a different flight or tell me to go to a hotel or something like that. But sitting around an airport for 24 plus hours, what kind of situation is that?
It's a miserable situation, I do believe.
Have you ever been in one?
I've been ones where I've been in airports where my flights have been delayed for, I think the max was 8 hours.
Okay. That's not so bad.
Well, comparatively, no.
Right.
I mean, it seemed miserable at the time, but right, of course. And that was a flight to Europe, so I had to look forward to the wait plus the flight.
Well, the very first flight I ever took to Europe, that's what happened. I was on this the service called Air Hitch, and that's where you basically – it was a weird system. you would get this little blue card, and you would pick a city that you wanted to go to. And they would say, okay, you can get on a flight that goes to this other city in Europe, which is in two countries over from where you want to go. But for $160, which is what it was back then, it was a pretty good deal.
Right.
And you just sort of had to be very flexible as to the day you left and where you wound up. And the very first flight I was on, it was on this weird airline. I think it was American Trans Air or something I'd never heard of before. They called it a charter airline. And the very first flight was supposed to leave JFK at about 6 in the evening, and it was delayed until around 11 in the evening. They gave us food vouchers, and we were able to walk around the airport and cash them in. I didn't mind that at all. It was an adventure for me.
Sounds good.
And if you're traveling, you got to be flexible. You know, that's the difference between having fun and being all miserable and tense all the time.
And that's correct. And I think one of the things that causes our tension in these issues is our short vacation times many of us have. We try to make the most of a minimum amount of time. There's not a lot of flexibility in our lives, and because of that we feel those tensions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
now I know something that will make people feel a lot more tense, and that's these rumors going around that it's a fact. The FCC is considering allowing cell phones to be used on flights, not just, you know, for games and texts and things like that, but for actual conversations with your voice.
Right. Now, don't conversations on planes cause enough trouble as it is, let alone with people next to you yammering on their phones?
Yeah, I think they do. People saying inappropriate things. Maybe having people not talking to each other on the plane is an advantage. I don't know what their thinking is. I do know if I'm stuck for however many hours on a commercial airline, sitting next to somebody in very, very tight, unhealthy quarters, and it really is so incredibly cramped and miserable, having to listen to them talk about the inane details of their miserable lives and having that injected into whatever it is I'm trying to do to get through those hours, it's not going to make things any better. It's going to make things a whole lot worse. And, I see all kinds of conflicts coming up as a result of this. And the reaction that people have is, well, get some earplugs in. You don't have to listen. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to basically cover your ears to prevent yourself from having
right.
to deal with somebody else's issues.
And naturally, the people saying get some earplugs, as soon as they're sleep time or their nap time or whatever have you are interfered with, they're going to be the complainers. There's that fantastic social contract in the real world which says if your neighbor doesn't want to speak right then, everyone can be quiet. And that doesn't exist in the cell phone world and at close proximity for a great amount of time.
I've had people that didn't even respect that kept talking to me even though I
well, yes.
made clear I did not want to talk to them.
Sound asleep.
So, what kind of work are you in again? Oh, wow. Hey, you think you could hand me that thing over there that I don't really need, but I'm just going to keep the conversation going? I've had such miserable flights because I generally don't like to talk to people on flights. I'm very antisocial.
Okay.
You know? It's true. I you wouldn't know it because I make up for during this 1 hour where I talk, but then the rest of the week I'm pretty quiet.
Well, there you have it. But yeah, that's that social contract that we, as I said, we just kind of are losing with the in the cell phone world, mm-hmm. where people are just yapping away all the time.
Yeah, it's
to themselves seemingly. If you're trying to sleep,
I saw a commercial yesterday. I don't know what it was a commercial for, and commercials are generally lost on me because I'll watch it and I'll understand what's being said, but I won't understand what product is being advertised
because you don't care.
I don't care exactly.
Right.
I genuinely do not care. But this particular time, it was. I guess it was for. It must have been for a phone or for a headphone company or something like that. Somebody was walking through the streets. And there were all these noises, such as jackhammers and people shouting and traffic and things like that. And this person was not annoyed by any of that because he, being the modern man, was able to choose the noise that he heard. And he was actually proud of this fact that he had headphones covering his head. He could not hear a damn thing going on around him except the music that he was piping into his mind. And he had this basically content look on his face. And this was being sold as a good thing that somebody is completely oblivious to their surroundings.
Isolation.
And is being lost in their own little world.
Mm-hmm.
this is really what's being sold to people today. And, you know, I had to ask myself, what if one of those cars is like hurtling right towards you and is honking its horn and you don't see it and you certainly can't hear it because, you know, you're listening to Nirvana on your headphones.
Well, that's a huge thing, you know.
It's personal, a huge thing. And
personal isolation is what we've been sold this entire last century. I mean, that's why we have so many cars on the road. That's why there's not as much use of mass transit in this country, because people want their isolation.
And the damage that it does to your hearing, to have headphones going all the time?
Right. Well, some people actually are wearing the big boy headphones, as they say, you know, which seem to be back in style.
Those are cool. I like
that
those.
That are dampeners.
Yeah.
Noise dampeners, yeah.
Yeah, they
without
just look
music
cool.
Cranking in. Yes, I agree.
Wow. What else is going on in the world? Anything of interest?
Well, I think we have some things happening locally on campus.
You know what? We do. We have a scandal on campus. Oh, I want to get to that in just a moment.
Oh, we're
going to
save that?
Well, I want to talk about what's going on in other parts of the world, too, because this is at least as important, what's happening in Ukraine.
Certainly is.
some people might not agree, but I think it is. Did you hear about this? And Kyle and I were in Ukraine just mm-hmm. over a year ago, and I got to say, it's an incredible, amazing country. I highly recommend it when we went there. I'm not sure where it's going right now. But basically, what happened very recently, in the last few days, was that Ukraine has put an agreement on hold, an agreement with the EU that basically was going to move Ukraine closer towards becoming part of the EU. And what they've done instead is basically moved more towards Russia, and they are going to be making some kind of a deal with Putin instead. Even though they claim, Putin claims that I had nothing to do with this and wasn't exerting any pressure whatsoever. Of course,
yeah, right.
He was, they were, and the things that are going on in Ukraine right now are rather unhealthy because you have that whole situation where Yanukovych, who's the president right now, is basically keeping Yulia Tymoshenko. Mm-hmm. And these names are hard, I know. She's in prison. She's the woman who looked like she's in Star Wars, you know,
right.
the braided hair and all that. But she was also the leader of the country for a period, accused of being corrupt and put in prison for a number of years. A lot of people say that this is something that is politically motivated, something that is completely unfair, unheard of. And you have basically two camps of people that agree that she should be released, that believe that she should be kept in prison, that believe the country should be moving closer to Russia, that believe the country should be moving closer to the EU. And it's a real, I would almost say stalemate, except for the fact that there's pretty much an iron grip of leadership right now in the country. And it's it seems to be getting to a point where conflict is inevitable. In fact, there has been conflict over the last few days. When we were there, it was very interesting because you had on one of the main streets, you had demonstrations, two rival demonstrations. Imagine this, looking across the street, and on the right side, you have a crowd of people with bullhorns, megaphones, saying that Yulia Tymoshenko should be released from prison, pictures of her everywhere. Right next to that, you've got the Yanukovych, President Yanukovych supporters, saying that she should be kept in jail, that he's doing a great job, that the country comes first, et cetera, et cetera. And they're both going on at the exact same time. So if you're across the street, all you hear is a cacophony of noise, of speakers, of people talking over each other. And it's really kind of comical. And then you walk over there because you have to walk over there. You have to see what's actually going on. And what we did was we walked through the Tymoshenko camp first. And I know the names are confusing. Tymoshenko is the woman in jail right now. And Yanukovych is the president who's in power right now. So we went through her supporters' camp first. And mostly old people, we noticed. A lot of leaflets being handed out. Basically kind of the same atmosphere you would see at a demonstration of anti-war people in Washington, D.C. Not enough young people and a lot of talking going on. And then we keep in mind, we had recording equipment with us and people were genuinely interested and friendly. We walked over to the next camp, and keep in mind, these are the people that are in power, the Yanukovych supporters. And they were not friendly. Now, we weren't wearing buttons saying free Yulia Tymoshenko or anything like that. We were just walking around, smiling, recording what we could, capturing images. And the people on that side reacted with such suspicion. We were immediately followed by these weird people that looked like security guards, like big security guards. And they were trying not to be seen following us, but it was obvious what they were doing. And nobody smiled. And it's very strange because it's rare that you have such a black and white difference between sides. Usually they try to win you over. They try to say, no, we're the good guys. But in this particular case, it was like, we're the bad guys, we know it, and what are you going to do about it? So it's weird that such a thing would happen. I'm sorry, I told the whole story about Ukraine, which you can listen to later. But I'm saying that there's a black and white, good and bad, you know, bent to all this.
Yes.
And it became very apparent to Kyle and myself when we were over there. So I'm watching this story with a lot of interest.
So is there, I don't know what you discovered, but I think it's fascinating that you have the current government of the Ukraine leaning more towards the Russians, right? Did you just discuss this?
The current government is now moving more towards Russia against the will of many of its people, by the way.
Yes, but do you find that fascinating?
Yeah, I do. I do. And it's kind of scary because the leadership in Ukraine is not something that is very sympathetic to opposition.
Right.
So I wonder where it's going to go because the opposition is strong and it's vocal and it's not going away. So it's going to be – and it's very surprising that they would simply turn away from becoming warmer with the West.
Right.
So we're moving towards something, and it might not be
very... Putin is definitely doing some arm twisting in this whole situation.
Yeah, well, you know, keep in mind, he's seeing one by one republics becoming more westernized.
Right.
And he doesn't want to be alienated, so you can understand that.
Yes.
But I really think she should be out of jail, though.
Oh, me too.
It's
I think most people should be out of jail.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Would be nice. So let me ask you, Finn, are you a knob or a handle person?
A knob or a handle?
Or maybe I should say knob or lever.
You're going to have to give me a definition.
I heard the story on the way over today, and I was amazed by it. Turns out in Vancouver.
It turns out.
Turns out there's a new building regulation that says you can no longer have doorknobs when you build houses and doors. You have to have lever handles. And there's I was listening to CBC. There's this whole debate going on. People were saying, yeah, but, you know, knobs help kids not get out of the house. And you get your jacket caught on levers. And there's a spirited debate going on right now about which is better. I prefer levers, to be honest.
Myself, my whole house is levers, actually.
Yeah, and it's very European as well.
Well, I'm very European.
Well, there you go. But you can always put a lock on it, too, so that they don't open.
Yes, you can.
But that doesn't solve if your jacket gets caught.
Actually, you know, my biggest problem with the levers is right now, it's my cat. My cat jumps up.
Cats can open levers. Yes, they've figured out how to do that.
Yes.
They cannot open knobs. They've tried. I've seen them.
I'm sure some can.
With both paws, they're trying to open the knobs. And, yeah, it doesn't work.
So the bottom line of this debate is what? What's going on?
Well, apparently there's worry this is going to spread throughout Canada now and maybe even dip into the south of the border to here. And maybe doorknobs are on the way out. Well, it is something that is older than levers. Levers are newer.
Are levers newer?
I think they are. If you go to ancient Rome, well, you can't, obviously, but think back to ancient Rome, and I guess they didn't have doorknobs either.
No, I'm sure they had levers.
No, I don't think they did.
Well, I think they just had handles.
Look, Charles Dickens, dead as a doorknob. Wasn't that part of Ebenezer Scrooge? Christmas Carol story, wasn't that?
That's right.
So he didn't say door lever.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I've long wondered, like, how did this happen? How did this evolve? Because when you go to Europe, every single door is not a doorknob.
Right. The levers are much more common.
Yeah, yes, they are common. And I like them better. They feel more solid.
And you can also feel when you're actually closing the door and opening the door.
That's true.
All those things.
One person, though, on the radio today that I was listening to said that it's impossible to open the door and use your key at the same time with a lever. You can do that with a knob. And I'd like to see him. I can't do that. So I'm not sure. I guess it depends. Well, I suppose if the lock is on the knob. Yeah, I guess you could do it then.
Yeah.
We have some serious debates ahead of us that will make the low-flow toilet situation seem like nothing in comparison. But yeah, okay, let's get on to the scandal here at Stony Brook. Well, I mean, I think it's a scandal. I obviously, not everybody. A lot of people think it's just run-of-the-mill business as usual. We heard this story last week, like shortly after after we went off the air last week.
Right.
That, and, you know, I didn't think anything of it, that the athletic director here at Stony Brook was let go or was resigning or something like that. You know, it's, I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's spelled F-I-O-R-E.
I believe it's Fiore.
See, it could be Fiore. It could be Fiore. What do you say it is?
I think it's Fiore.
Fiore? Like Fury?
Well, that it could turn into that.
Wow. So the athletic director's last name was Fury.
Fiore, I do believe.
Okay, you know what? I'm getting a site here where you
can
actually
get a pronunciation.
No, there are these sites on the internet that allow you to type in a name and it will say how you're supposed to pronounce it.
I think there's a lot of variations on this
one. Well, can we just agree that whatever the internet says in this particular case is gospel, all right?
Absolutely.
Now, just to test this out, hang on. I'm going to type Smith, and let's see how that is said.
Smith.
Okay. So we agree.
We agree.
All right. Let's see if it says your name right.
Finn.
Okay.
Perfect.
Let's see what
beautiful
says,
accent, too.
I want to see if it says my name right. Hold on. My name has a few more syllables than yours.
Emmanuel.
Okay, that's not bad. You know, I'm kind of...
And with a lot of flourish as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, Emmanuel.
Right?
Kind of like, okay, so now we're going to type in this guy's name, and this is how we're going to say it, all right? So we agree to this, right?
Okay.
If it says Smith, we got to call him Smith. All right, here we go. It doesn't. It can't do it. It says our nearest entry is four, F-O-R-E.
Yeah,
it
there's too many vowels.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Why can't it do that?
I don't know.
See, this is a complex story, folks. We can't even say his name.
We'll call him Jim.
Let's just call him Jim.
Yeah, right.
That's good. I like that. It's kind of like friendly. Anyway, so this guy Jim, who was the athletic director, was... basically out. And, you know, what surprised me was how many people thought this was a big deal. I didn't even know this guy's name at all. I'd never heard of Jim before, but all these people had heard of Jim. I don't know what an athletic director is. I guess it's somebody who supervises all the athletics going on campus. There's a lot of athletics going on campus, that's for sure.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, according to the Newsday story, he's widely recognized as the chief architect of the school's burgeoning Division I athletic program and the driving force behind its markedly improved athletic facilities. And last Tuesday, he was relieved of his duties. So what got me was reading the story, this guy was relieved of his duties and given $800.
No.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's a lot of $800. It's a lot of money. All right. I would like $800, but no, $8,000.
I would leave my job for $800.
$8,000 to leave. Think about that. $8,000. What you could do with that just to walk away.
No.
You give me $8,000
right now.
I will walk away and I won't come back.
Manual. It's not $8,000.
I'm still $80,000 to walk
going.
Away. Wait a minute. $80,000 just to walk away from a job?
Keep going.
I'll keep going. I'll go all the way around the world several times for $80,000. Wait a minute. Wait. What did you just say?
Add another zero.
Like a leading zero? 08?
No. Like not, a zero not, at the end.
Surely.
Like six a decimal
whole
point,
figures. A decimal point and a zero.
Now, six whole figures.
Hold on. 800,000 dollars?
That's correct.
$800,000 to walk away from a job.
That's right. As I said, I would sign that agreement any day.
All right. Okay, so I'm trying to understand this now. Someone, bear with me. This is all new to me. I didn't even know we had an athletic director. Someone is told to leave, and in exchange for their leaving, they're given almost $1 million.
Right.
All right? That's four-fifths of $1 million right there.
Correct.
And they must really be somebody that they want off campus badly.
Right. Well, I do believe that
I've seen students kicked off campus, and they weren't given anything.
In fact, they usually lose and they still owe.
Stay away from us, and we'll give you $1 million. Just don't come back.
Right.
What could he have done?
Well, obviously.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, for the reasons that they wanted him to leave, they had to buy out his contract. So I do believe all that right. This bought out the 31 months left in his current contract, which is still
31 months. Okay. So basically what they're doing
is— Do we have to do the math?
They're paying him for 31 months of work that he's not going to be doing.
That is correct.
And they got to pay somebody else to do that work too.
That's right.
And assuming they pay them the same amount— That's $1.6 million that they're paying right now.
Which I believe comes out of both tuition and taxpayer funds.
Well, all right, we can get to that. What I'm wondering right now is, when do you do something like that? And the reason we are theorizing and asking all these questions without much in the way of information is because the university is not giving out any information. Everybody's
correct.
Shut down. It's like the TASS news agency here. We're basically, we cannot comment on this. This is the fact. Oh, isn't it a glorious day outside? Let's do something else. You can't get anything out of them. Reporters are trying. We'll show you a couple of stories in a moment, but think about it. Okay, so if the guy is just fired, he must have really they say that they want to go in a different direction. What different direction can you go in with sports? You know, you want more sports, I guess. I mean, what else? You want to tear down a stadium? Basically, you're going in basically the same direction. If you don't like the way somebody is doing their job, okay, you don't rehire them after their contract ends. But for them to leave immediately says that it's got to be something a lot more than that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's just a story up as we speak on ESPN.
ESPN.
W. That's correct.
ESPN what?
W.
ESPN W. Which one is that?
That's one of their writers, the writing section, their magazine section online.
Oh, all right. I knew they put numbers at the end of ESPN. I knew they put letters. ESPN C, I think, is college. I never heard W before, but that just shows how little I know on the subject.
There it is.
All right. So what do they have to say about Jim?
They say numerous claims of inappropriate behavior were brought against former Stony Brook University athletic director Jim F. prior to his dismissal by the school on November 19th.
Okay. And yet none of those are being released to the public. Nobody knows.
Not officially, no.
Not officially. If somebody did something, do you have any kind of allegations to what kinds of...
It does give allegations.
Was he stealing more money, maybe?
It says he's accused of discriminating against employees based on gender, age, and sexual orientation, according to sources close to and within the athletic department, as well as several documents.
So it's basically gossip right now.
Well, as of this point, it is still gossip. That is correct.
Okay. If somebody were guilty of something like this, why would you give them $800,000?
Why wouldn't you go after them?
Yeah.
Well, I had a theory about that last week, which is that the university, and this always mystifies me, Emmanuel, actually, where an organization thinks that, well, quick dismissal, no one will ask any questions. The university will still come out looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, quick dismissal without a firm prosecution is the lessons people should have learned from places like Penn State, et cetera. You know what I mean? Where people have looked the other way or attempted to obfuscate by just a quick And this is motion.
How this is how situations like Penn State happen in the
exactly
first place.
Correct.
Cover-ups.
Right.
And when you don't speak about something, when you just basically try and move on and cover it all up, well, that's a cover-up.
Right. And it's hard to justify that kind of move when you know that $800,000 given to a farewell coach and everybody waves and says, oh, great job. Thanks for stopping by for a few years is going to be an issue. You know, people are going to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, mm-hmm. And there's no way to avoid questions about this issue. I can only think that currently the university is still not only in the university at the university level, but also on the state level, coming together with a very, very good, solid story of that they were proactive. And apparently close to the time that these allegations came to full fruition, as far as the university was concerned, they did take some actions.
Okay. But I think the main reason why you give somebody a huge sum of money and don't say anything about why
is to cover it up.
Is to cover it up, but also to protect yourself right. against legal action by that person. But if this person did something bad, isn't that the kind of thing that you want to challenge?
Right.
And say, yeah, we fired your ass because you were doing this, this, and this, and have that come out. And yeah, maybe it'll cost you something. Maybe it'll cost you more. But if you win, I don't think it's going to cost you anything, you know, especially if you countersue or whatever they do in these situations. The important thing is to have the moral ground. And you don't have the moral ground when you clam up and don't say anything. I'd like to read you a part of a story that appears on a blog called imaseawolf.com. And proud to say, this is one of our staffers. Adam Peck is one of our staffers here.
That, Adam Peck's a great guy.
Yeah, and this has been a good week for WUSB because not only did we have the local music marathon. You hear that?
Yes, I did.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
That was really amazing. We did that all weekend. Was it all weekend?
No, it was all Saturday.
Just all Saturday. Well, it could have been all weekend.
I listened to the first half of it on Saturday and the second half of it on the archive on Sunday.
Just goes to show the kinds of things we can put together.
Yep.
And now you have one of our staffers basically digging at this story and asking a lot of questions, which is exactly what journalists should be doing. So proud week for WUSB. Call us, support us, pledge lots of money to us, 631-632-6901. We basically talk about things. We don't clam up. But here's a piece from this blog. The unexpected firing of Jim F. as athletics director of Stony Brook University was the result of allegations of harassment made repeatedly against him by several female employees within the Department of Athletics. That's according to multiple sources who spoke with Seawolves Nation, the name of this blog, on Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. The women in question, who are all on the coaching staffs for various teams within university athletics, brought their complaints to independent mediators outside the athletics department. The identities of these women remain confidential. No formal grievances were filed by the women, nor were any charges filed by the university. Rumors about misconduct by the former athletics director have been swirling ever since news broke on Tuesday that Stony Brook University had decided to give him the approximately $800,000 he was owed for the remaining 31 months of his contract, effectively firing him. Seawolves Nation spoke with multiple sources in senior positions throughout the university and the Department of Athletics, many of whom had direct knowledge of the situation. We were given information on the condition of anonymity because the people we spoke with were not authorized to comment on behalf of the university or their respective departments. We have only included those facts which have consistently overlapped between multiple accounts of the situation by sources independent of each other. We also reached out to the university and to Jim F., Fiore, whatever you, how are you pronouncing
it? Let's go with Fiore.
Fiore. I'm just going to say that because it sounds ridiculous to say Jim F. A university spokeswoman told us that it is school policy not to comment on personnel matters, the same statement they have issued for the last, well, I guess, week now. Michael Conte, a representative for Fiore, who has fielded press inquiries since news first broke of his departure, said the allegations we relayed sounds off base, but he did not point to any specific inaccuracies. Of course, you know, if charges are not filed, if statements are not made, then the truth will never come out. And that's unfortunate for everybody. And when you have all this money being basically thrown away, it's a scandal. Now, I'd also like to focus on another piece from the same blog from Seawolves Nation, imaseawolf.com. Hours after news first broke, reporters and fans began asking questions. He clearly wasn't fired for doing a bad job. What was the basis for it? Why now, in the middle of the academic year? How about the $800,000 the university forked over to buy out the remainder of his contract? This is public money. Doesn't the public have a right to know why they just gave a public official more than $750,000? Anyone in search of answers to these and a multitude of other questions have been met with answering machines, away messages, and no comments. University's official statement is that they don't comment on personnel issues, even, it seems, if said personnel is no longer employed by the university. Both university and athletics public relations officials are clamping down, telling professors, student athletes, coaches, and anyone else they can reach out to respond, not to respond to questions, and instead direct them to the university's stonewalled communications offices. You better believe they don't want us talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, free speech trumps everything else.
And here's the latest, by the way, from ESPN. It actually goes a little further than what you just read.
ESPNW or?
ESPNW, okay. Yes. Fiore routinely sent inappropriate text messages from his university phone.
Oh, Wienergate, huh?
Yeah, to female. Wiener. Listen up, to female staff members and student athletes.
Well, then all we need are for people to come forward with those messages.
That's right.
Right? And then we
Well, apparently, as it's a university phone, I'm sure the university has access to those messages.
Here's the thing. If the guy is fired for doing something inappropriate, he doesn't deserve $800,000. This is basic arithmetic, Stony
right.
Brook. Come on. It's not. We basically have so many things. I'm not going to even point to this place because we'll survive no matter what. But there are so many things on this campus that are in desperate need of funding that throwing this away is criminal.
Right.
It really is. And I sure hope the story does not end here. People continue asking questions and that nobody is prevented from finding out the facts. We don't know the facts. We are the first to say we don't know what's going on. It's because nobody is talking. No one's giving official statements. No one's presenting evidence. So we have to rely on what people are saying in the background, what allegations are coming out. We have to keep digging until we find out what's happening.
Right.
And you can write to us, otw@2600.com, if you hear anything, if you know anything, and keep listening to WUSB, obviously, to find out more of what we learn.
And you can give us a call at any time and make a pledge to the station if you appreciate this type of reporting, 631-632-6901, this type of discussion.
People want to call in and threaten us, too.
Yeah, we get that all the time. That's not out of season. 631-632-6901.
Amazing. Wow. I had no idea this guy even existed a week ago.
Well, you and I don't follow this as much, but now we do.
Can you believe how much they pay people for athletics on campus? I've gone on record as saying this myself. And again, in my opinion, apparently it's in the minority now, but Stony Brook used to not be an athletic-type school. It used to be an academic-type school.
The Berkeley of the East.
Yeah, pretty much. And I just don't get how athletics turned into something that eclipses everything else. And Stony Brook pales by comparison to some of the schools.
Right.
If you go into the Deep South and out West, You have 100,000-seat stadiums right in the middle of schools. Football is everything. And it's like two different worlds, you know, academics and athletics. I don't understand why people who are into athletics don't simply go to an athletic type of school and not have to worry about passing chemistry.
Because athletics bring in a lot of money, and the NCAA has a lot of rules.
But apparently they throw away a lot of money, too. And apparently that money doesn't go to other things that are needed. And that's a real problem.
That is for sure.
All right. Hey, you know, I wish we had more hours to talk about this, but we're out of time. So I'm going to leave you, Finn, to deal with the residual of the things we've said. because I'm sure there'll be feedback to it. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. I hope you have a happy Thanksgivica.
And you as well.
All right. We'll be back. Hopefully, next week. Emmanuel, for Finn and for all of us here at WUSB.
And Jim F.
And, yeah, sure. And everybody at the Stony Brook campus and surrounding communities and the entire world that's listening to us on our podcast. Have a good night. And please call 631-632-6901. Pledge whatever you can afford. Oh, and stay dry and safe and warm and all that kind of thing. Good night.
Up his homie Merce on the telephone. He's gotta talk to somebody who can tell him what the hell is wrong. Brain freezing up, he don't know what to do. But the people that know him know that it ain't nothing new. Catch five rings, then an answering machine. Hang up on the beam, stare up towards the ceiling. Stood up to remember that he slept fully dressed. So he grabbed his keys and put a hat on his rat's nest.
stepped up to that big outside. Somebody once said today's a good day to die, but he never really was a big fan of their work. So he starts up the war by kicking sand in the dirt. A friend to the stranger, a stranger to friends. He'll take a coffee and a pack of cigarettes when you have a minute, handle it. Paid up the change, you keep it. He's a sucker for the morning smile and summer cleavage. If you knew him better, he'd ask for some time, cause he's looking for a reservoir to empty his mind. And there's only so much he can put in the song. Gotta talk to somebody who can tell him what the hell is wrong. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. No shock value to titillate, far from shallow. So get it straight, blacktop, sidewalk, in the street. Cause life is priceless and talk is cheap. And as he sits in his four-cornered room, following a tune, born to consume, carefully learning and analyzing the lyrics you use, finally realizing that humility is a ruse. Scared love don't make none. These walls could speak, they would peep about the fake ones, watching this man falling off of this plan, underachieving just so he can understand. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. So who did your tattoos? That's nice. And who built your taboos? That's life. If he had a glass pipe, he would smash it and use it to slash his wrists. Someone already beat him to it. He would finger paint you a picture with his blood. A self-portrait, dramatic and morbid. But the odds of you finding any appreciation are too slim. Keeps his outlook grim. Tap his foot to the rhythm of original sin. Throw his balls to the wind, trying to knock down these pins. He'll keep swinging from the hair above his chin till he finds his soul in the 50-cent bin. The price of the payphone escalates. Fake smile when he takes home one of his dates. He could write another hate poem for you to break. Or maybe stay calm and wait for that big earthquake. Still surrounded by the fire and the water. Still trying to honor this empire's daughter. Still answering questions you're afraid to ask. Still believing that God's gonna save his ass. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And this house has got a lot of walls, but only very few mean anything to you. And if you knew him better, he would ask for some time, cause he's looking for a reservoir to empty his mind. And there's only so much he can put in a song. He's gotta talk to somebody who can tell him what the hell is wrong.
Finn's Revolution on this stormy night right here in Stony Brook, New York on WUSB Stony Brook. I don't know. We're going to get wet tonight, and we're going to listen to a little bit of frightening Thanksgiving Day story right here from this Silver Bridge on the Great Radio Place. So stay tuned. 631-632-6901 if you want to make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook. That is, hey, you know who that is? Mr. Mac Rebenack. That's right, Dr. John himself. Storm warning right here on WUSB. Stony Brook is getting a little heavy out there. It's going to get heavier as the evening progresses, and into tomorrow it's going to be wet. In just a few moments, we're going to hear the short story, the short radio play, I should say, Specialty of the House just for Thanksgiving, a little bit of a frightening Thanksgiving radio play put on by Ali Silva. Stanley Ellen wrote it back in 1948, and Silvan Sandovar adapted it for our radio play. We're going to hear that in just a few moments to get you ready for Thanksgiving. But meanwhile, we're going to stay in storm mode. The radio play should be on about 7:15, so stay tuned for that. It is outstanding and beautiful, so and frightening and exciting and funny and all that. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, give us a call, 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook. We're not in Tokyo, but it is stormy.
And all those eternal questions, well, why do we care?